Hi there. Welcome to Intentional Living Center today. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, and we got our doors open. I want you to come on in. And this topic today, we were just talking about it. The topic is on humility. You know, like, I'm going to tell you 10 ways I'm more humble than you are, or how I became humble in my new book, you know, just the discussion of, so if I were to ask you, call and tell us how humble you are, that's not going to generate any calls. And yet, this is a really important topic. We're commanded to be humble. What is humility? Come on now, look at the political campaigns going on today. Ain't a lot of humility flying around the stages and the discussions going on there. So the question is, think of a person who has demonstrated humility in your life. Who was it, and what did it look like? Let's really get definitional here. Who was it, and what did it look like? Are you ready? This is Intentional Living. Let's talk.
Welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are open just for you. 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. And now, from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your faith, here's Randy.
All right, thank you much. I'm chuckling because if you've been following the political landscape, you know, there ain't a whole lot of humility coming out of the voices and the thoughts of most of the candidates. There are some exceptions, but generally, you know, I can do this, I can do that, I'm going to do this, and I know it's all part of the process of really motivating and moving people. And we don't live in a world today where we really elevate humility in a person. And yet when you see some of the people who are picked, you know, described as the, you know, the man or woman of the year or the person who's done most for the community and they win those awards, it tends to be people who have demonstrated a level of humility. So it's not humility, I don't think, is sitting in the corner. Humility can be very active. It can be very engaged. It certainly can be very intentional. But it's not about me. It's not I-focused or how great I am, clearly. But who, think of it for a moment. Let's get real definitional here in terms of an illustration. Who has demonstrated humility for you? A person. Your spouse, a school teacher, a grandparent, a friend, maybe one of your children. Just a real basic definition of what humility looks like. And I was thinking, you know, there's a lot of ways we could go in the scripture, but I was thinking the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, where Jesus in Matthew 5 talks about blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the persecuted. He goes on to talk throughout that whole passage, and then he says, if you find back, going a little bit further in that fifth chapter to verse 29, but I tell you, don't resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, you know, give them the other cheek. What do you do? I mean, when you think about humility, I think humility is one of those things that you just know when you're in its presence. You just sense it. And I don't think it's a matter of weakness. I don't, you know, there's a lot of people that I know that just have that sense of humbleness. They're just sort of a humble person. And, you know, there's an interesting thought when you think about being humble. Have some people become humble by the necessity of being brought low and to a place where they've been humbled and as a result have become more humble? And I think as you go through life and you experience more losses and hurts and things that, you know, you either become bitter or you do become more humble in terms of just life, the reality of life. So here's what I want to do. I want to hear from you very quickly. One person, who was it? Who is it? And what specifically about that person you would say I was in the presence of humility? And I think these are things we should emulate as we think about it. All righty? 888-888-1717. Let's go.
The way that I feel loved by my husband is when he helps me in the home.
I feel most loved by my husband when he does something for me that I know he doesn't like to do, He works and so do I, and we have three beautiful kids. And so when I come home from work and I see that the dishes are done or that he's swept or mopped, I know that he did it out of love for me, and so that makes me feel really loved.
When he sees me struggling with my day-to-day chores and he pitches in and helps without me needing to ask.
It's just simple things, like if I have a heavy box that needs carrying out to the car, or helping me wash the dishes or helping me fold clothes. I guess it's acts of service. We've been married almost 33 years and have people still ask, tell us that we act like we're newlyweds.
Good for you. I got some scripture here that I think Jesus gives us a perspective on this. In Matthew 18, he says, if anyone becomes as humble as this little child, he will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Children are kind of humble, aren't they, when you think about it? I mean, they can get the little ones, you know, they're not trying to measure up to anything at that point, and they haven't gotten caught up in all the adult nonsense that we get caught up and the pretense of. They're just learning and growing and excited about life. The psalmist says in Psalm 18:27 about God, he says, you rescue the humble, but you humiliate the proud. Wow. There's a warning for us. All right. People who are humble, what do you think? Let's go. Jim, welcome to the program.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Appreciate your call. Give some examples maybe that
yes.
stand out to you.
Well, the two people that have impressed me the most in my life are Mother Teresa and the current Pope Francis. There's a radiance around them. You don't have to say a word. You can feel it. They just radiate humility.
Mm.
Especially, I was in the presence of Mother Teresa when she came to Phoenix.
Mm.
And we met at there were 10,000 people in the Coliseum at Phoenix. And when she came in, everybody was quiet. I mean, you couldn't hear anything. You could almost hear her walking on the floor.
Yeah.
And there were tears not only in my eyes, but in other people's eyes around me. There was a woman who was humble. She didn't have to say a word. I mean, by her actions and
yeah.
also Pope Francis, same thing. I mean, here's a guy who came from Argentina. Before he was a pope, he was an archbishop, and he used to go down into the slums and visit with these people. That's Jesus Christ in action.
Yeah, and it's not a theological issue in terms of being different. You know, people come from different theological perspectives, but what you're saying in those two particular characters, there was behavior, there was a way of approaching life that backed up the humility of how they appeared. I mean, Mother Teresa, this little lady walking into the room, in any other setting, you may not know. She may appear humble and she may look humble, but what's backing that up is here's a woman whose life demonstrated humility, caring for others, putting others first. It's like what C.S. Lewis said, and I think I agree with him. He said, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less. I like that. In other words, we don't become the centerpiece. It's like what Paul says, don't think only of your own interest, but the interest of others. So there's an attitude, there's an inside thing that goes on that changes a disposition, a perspective, in the way a person behaves. And then that gives the credibility when someone says, hey, that's a humble person, because we see it in their behavior. Good thought. Hey, thank you, Jim. Appreciate your call.
You're welcome.
That was very good. Let me go to Carolyn in Michigan.
Hi there.
Give me an example of humility that you've seen.
It was my dad growing up. I was raised in a Christian home, and no matter what it was ever asked of him through the church or someone in the church, he always just did it. And he never wanted any credit or anything for it.
Did you see that as weakness or strength?
Strength. To me, it was strength, because in our family, God was always first and the family was second. And no matter whatever came first was the church and God.
Did you ever look at your dad and think, wow, Dad, you need to speak up more, you need to take better care of yourself, put yourself first? Did you ever have feelings that your dad was being pushed around or a doormat as a result of his, well, it's being meek in terms of really serving others?
Honestly, as a teenager, it was kind of like we were put second fiddle, so it wasn't something, you know, you look at. But as I got older, I knew why, and I understood why.
So you saw it as a strength that he really put God's service as such a high priority in his life.
Yes.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Carolyn. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. We're giving illustrations today, not just talking theologically about humility, but what is it? What does it look like, smell like, and feel like in your life? And somewhat, one person, 888-888-1717.
This is Lori Allen. The first time I heard the phrase servant leadership, I laughed. The employers I'd had were good at serving the investors a beefy bottom line, and that was it. They probably wouldn't understand the concept that Jesus originated, washing feet. Servant leadership is biblical, so you may see it among your elders and deacons at church, and if you're fortunate, you experience it at your job. We all like the idea of a leader who'd put aside his or her ego and agenda to serve, to make the organization its best. And research indicates companies who care about employees' well-being have higher profits. So serving can pay off, literally. But you don't have to be a president, executive, or manager to be a servant leader. When you serve others, you win. If you can't imagine how you would show servant leadership, ask yourself how you'd figuratively wash the dirty, stinky feet of those around you. Perhaps it's cleaning your house or making coffee at the office when you're the first one to arrive. Maybe it's paying the bills, washing the car, or mowing the widow's lawn. Servant leadership comes in many forms, but it's modeling the one leader who loved you enough to die for your sins. I'm Lori Allen with Intentional Living.
Very good. Thank you. And that raises a question, Lori, as you talk about servant leadership. I think as Christians, we start to understand what that means, that we're here to serve, we're here to help others, we're not here for our own agenda, we're not here for any other reason but the help for the betterment of everybody. Now, I don't want to get into this because if I open this can of worms, we're going to get a ton of calls, but we're in a political season this year. Would that work in Washington? Servant leader, I mean, really true bottom line. Would a person survive in that setting in Washington, D.C., being elected and reelected year after year, term after term, or what have you? I know you want to call, but I'm really thinking of today the practicality of someone that you know personally, someone that really demonstrates humility, a father, a mother, a pastor, whoever. And the difference that has made in your life, okay? Let's go to Marcella in New Mexico. Welcome, Marcella, to the program.
Hello.
Who do you've seen that's been humble in your life that made a difference?
It actually reminded me of my 7-year-old son.
Oh.
It reminded me of a previous time in life a couple of years back when he was about 4 or 5, and we were making a big transition in life, and I remember sitting in the car and I talked to him and I asked him, well, do you think this will be okay with you? And he said, Mommy, I'm going to be happy as long as you're happy.
Huh.
And I was just astonished.
Yes, man. From that, you hear that from a 37-year-old, you're happy, but from a 7-year-old learning early to say, hey, it's not all about me. That's a great way to start, isn't it?
Absolutely. He's just such like, he's such an intellectual little gentleman, and I know that he's going to grow up to be an amazing young man.
That's a great story. Thank you, Marcella. Appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. All right, a little bit noisy there on the phone, but great story. Dottie, I got a minute. Tell us from Arizona who it is and how'd they demonstrate humility in your life.
Well, I had a grief share leader, and the thing was is that she was so caring and loving that everybody just wanted to be around her. Mm. And even though she led the whole group, when we broke out in small groups, they still tended to want to go to her and feel that comfort. You just feel it when she walked in. And as Christians, we all were like, we want to grow up and be a Christian like her. You know, that's so full of loving and caring, and it's not about her, it's about helping others.
That's,
and that's why it was great.
Fantastic.
You know, I think there is that theme that Lori Allen was talking about a minute ago in servant leadership. People who are humble can be great. They can be leaders. And there's something that attracts us to a person that is humble. But we also want them to be strong. We want them to be strong and a man and woman of conviction and know what they believe. And I don't think that the idea of being humble means that you're just going to be pushed around, that you're a weakling. I think there's strength in humility. In fact, I think it's easy to just be loud and controlling and whatever, but to be a truly humble person, when they walk in the room, you say, hey, I want to be in this person's group. It's because they care more for the group than they do just for themselves. I think that's powerful. Dottie, thank you for your call.
You're welcome.
Great reminder. A leader from Share Grief Ministry made a difference in her life.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are still open, 1-888-888-1717. Dr. Randy's got more for you. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
With my first cup of coffee.
First thing at the office, before staff meeting.
When do you go to the Intentional Living Facebook page?
I look at it every morning on my elevator ride to the office.
Really?
Each morning right after I drop off the kids.
Have you visited the Intentional Life page on Facebook today? Stay intentional with words from Dr. Randy, comment on wall posts, and share about what's going on in your life, too. And be sure to share the encouragement with someone you care about. Go to Facebook.com/intentionalliving and click like.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy?
Thank you, Kurt. Boy, we really tapped the nerve here today. As we ask you the question about humility, and the Bible talks about humility, we know as Christians we're supposed to be humble. It says in Ephesians 4:2, always be humble and gentle, be patient with each other. Philippians 2:3, don't be selfish, don't try to impress others, be humble, thinking of others better than yourself. Philippians 2:8, Jesus humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. And we continue to hear these great quotes that are coming in and the scripture that comes in about humility, but sometimes taking a concept of humility and breaking it down into this person demonstrated humility, and here's why, I think helps us see what humility really looks like, feels like, and smells like. 888-888-1717. Melissa wants to join in from Michigan. Hi, Melissa.
Hi.
Appreciate your call. Who was it that demonstrated humility for you?
My grandmother. She just passed away this past month. And I had my own little grieving process I had to deal with. But
imagine.
No, she... She demonstrated humility by always making sure others were put first. And when it came to her grandchildren, nobody would touch them. Or I hate to use this phrase on air, but all holy hell would break loose. You know, things were not nice if something happened to her grandkids.
So there's a lot of protection, but also a sense of real priority in her life. I'm sorry for your loss, by the way, Melissa. That's a loss. How about you? What is it? Who's a person that demonstrated humility? I mean, it is just their life. And if you were to say, hey, if I need to spend a day with a person who's demonstrated most what it means to be humble, what the scripture teaches about humility, who is it? Who is that person? 888-888-1717 is my number, and we'd love to hear your story. James 1:5 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. And I share that verse because maybe one of the things in your own life, maybe one of the things, the feedback you've gotten, maybe you just have some self-awareness that you wrestle with humility. One of the things about humility is you got to put yourself aside. You're not quite as concerned about what people think about how you look or, you know, the... In other words, it's not an image thing. A truly humble person has gotten beyond the image thing of life.
Here's what some of the people are saying on Facebook and Twitter. Tony says the pastors at Shelter Cove Church, it must be the church that they attend, demonstrate what humility looks like. Ella May says, my orthodontist, very humble and very gracious. Jody Ann says about this, a person is my pastor. A pastor friend of mine was willing to take criticism of his interpretation of Scripture and not overreact. This is truly a man of God who listens to the Spirit, not to his own understanding. That's great. And of course, Jay says Christ, he's the greatest example of humility, is he not? Okay, is this another Melissa? All right, this is another Melissa. Welcome to the program, Melissa.
Hi there, thank you.
Appreciate your call. Who's an example of humility in your life?
My son has been a great example of humility. He's 21 now.
Uh-huh.
And when he was a senior in high school, we went to a local restaurant. And the owner saw him and ran around the counter and gave him a big hug and just treated him like he was just the greatest thing. And I asked him when we was leaving, I said, you know, do you know them? And he said that she was stuck in her driveway. You know, we had a bad storm here in Michigan. And he stopped and dug her out and helped her out of her driveway.
Huh.
And I said, well, you never told me about that. And he said, I never told anybody. That was just between me and God. And I get that a lot with, you know, I'm not one of those moms that is kind of, my son's just the greatest. I get it from so many different areas and so many different people. I saw a patient in a home, and they said my last name, and they said, do you know Mike? And I said, yes, that's my son. Like, oh, you got to meet Mike's mom, you know? So I get that all around, but I never get that from him. And he's very much careful about what he brags. He doesn't brag on himself.
Mm.
A lot of character. And Family Life Radio and Parent Talk was a huge part of me being able to raise him as a single mom to be a godly man.
And, that's great.
That's where I learned about the book, Dare to Discipline, which...
Yeah, with James Dobson.
Really helped
me. Well, fantastic. And Melissa, you know, we're glad that we could play a small part in it, but obviously you've done a good job in raising your son. And how old is he now?
He's 21.
And what kind of a young man is he?
He is an incredible young man. Good man. He's looking for the right woman to marry someday. He's a Christian. He got saved when he was 6. And all kinds of spiritual progress I've documented in my Bible all along. He is just an incredible, incredible young man. Now, I had a vision for what I'd want him to be, our relationship when he was a man, and it's far exceeded.
Melissa, it sounds like he would be quite a catch for some young woman right now, wouldn't he?
He sure would be.
We've got to start an intentional living dating service. We could right here, right now... get a hookup. Hey, listen, that's the kind of young man that moms and dads with daughters want their daughters to be looking for. Men of strength, men of character, but also of humility. Powerful. All right, Melissa, thank you for your call, and I'm glad we've played a part in your life over the years. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Mm. Lindsay, I only got a minute, but tell me about your stepdad. How has he showed humility in your life?
All right. Well, I got to tell you about my stepdad. He's awesome. He's a lineman, and every year they have to retrain and sort of recertify and show that they can still climb the poles.
Right.
And so they make it into a little game, like a little competition. And even though my stepdad is in his 60s, he always wins the competition. And they took a picture of him on top of the pole this year. And, oh, I was just telling him, man, you're so amazing. You're so amazing. How do you do that? And he says to me, no, I'm not amazing. That's just confidence in your equipment. And it just exploded on the inside of me. This is how you be humble, but also confident, because the Lord is safety equipment. He's your harness. He won't let you fall.
Yeah. It's not the confidence in yourself.
In his case, it's equipment. In our case, it's in the God of the universe who made us the special that we are. That's great. Lindsay, thank you for your call. I think we got all that at the end, a little bit break up on the cell phone, but I think we got it. Hey, listen, you got some great stuff today, folks. I mean, if you think about humility, how you're going to train your sons and daughters, how we live our lives, you just heard examples, practical examples of what humility looks like, smells like, feels like in a person's life. I've memorized some scripture. Sometimes I've intentionally memorized them. Sometimes just by, you know, reading them and rereading them, they just become a part of my life. But you know what? I can tell you there are moments in my life when I'm faced with a challenge, faced with a decision that needs to be made, or with a hurt or something I'm wrestling with, that I can recall scripture that just brings the presence of God into my life, the Holy Spirit closer to me. And taking time to memorize scripture, maybe just a verse a week. You realize if you memorize just one verse every day for the next 365 days, at the end of a year from now, you would have memorized the entire books of Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. How about a goal over the next 30 days, one verse every day for 30 days, 30 verses that would draw you closer to Christ, 30 verses that would encourage you.
Wow. You know, that's an excerpt from my teaching this month for our members on the freedom process for your faith. And, you know, I set a goal out there, 30 days, one verse a day, 30 verses. And you may say that's a little heavy for you in scheduling. Hey, how about one verse a week? Just think, if you just studied four verses and you put them into your heart, into your life, into your mind that you could recall. Here's some verses I'd recommend. I think of Philippians 4:8. That reminds us whatever is true and right and admirable and praiseworthy and of good report to think on such things. There are so many other verses that remind us I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I think of 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and so many other verses of encouragement. I would just ask you, maybe as you think about growing your faith and living a life of humility before Christ, that you would fill your mind with the truth. Hey, I just want to say thank you as we wrap up the program to our members. It's each of you, men and women, couples, young and old, single and married, those who are stay at home and those who are working outside the home. Your monthly support allows us to do this, and because of your monthly support, we can reach other people for Christ. And monthly members, watch for the CD teaching this month on the freedom process for your faith coming to you automatically. If you're not a member, come and join us today. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com, or call 888-888-1717 during West Coast business hours. Upcoming program from Intentional Living, I think you'll enjoy. It'll be very practical. How to turn your marriage around intentionally. So I hope you come and join us at that time. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. Have a great day. We'll see you next time from the Intentional Living Center.